No, there's glasses around here somewhere. Okay. This is going to confuse everybody here. I'm up here way earlier than normal. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 38. It said, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne, will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have told us your will and instructed us on how you came to be here. Lord, in the incarnation. But Lord, there's still so much here we don't understand. There's still so many questions. So we ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit. That you'd open our hearts and our minds. That you would give us understanding. That you would show us how to apply this to our lives, Lord. That this just isn't something that happened 2,000 years ago. But Lord, show us how this is alive and vibrant yet today. Lord, we ask that your anointing would be here right now, Lord. I pray for your anointing upon my, that as I speak, your people would hear your voice and your truth. That all who hear this message will be drawn closer to you and pointed in the direction of you and your glory. Father God, we pray for your manifest presence here now. Bless your people. Bless your servants. Each one. In Jesus' name. Amen. How will this be? I'm going to pick on Nora Jean this morning. Not because Nora Jean has done anything wrong. It's just based upon demographics. You are roughly the same age as Mary was. As our best guess. Janie's actually old. She's 18. She'd have been married off and had kids by now. But Nora Jean, coming up on her 16th birthday here, right? When is it? March 1st. Everybody needs to mark that on the calendar. She expects big presents. 16th birthday. But that's about the age that the young woman got married back then. And here, an angel of God shows up and says, "You're going to have a baby, and God's the dad." And she says, "Cool." Okay, a little bit of difference in translation there, but that's roughly what she says. She says, I gotta put my glasses back on. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now, I'm going to guess this is not a normal or average response. Or Jean, would you respond? Like, okay. Full freak out maybe? Yeah? And rightly so. Is this on? I'm hearing just a little whine. Let's see if we can't get this thing. Anyhow, the angel shows up, has this weird introduction. "Welcome to you who are highly favored." Now, Gabriel seems to like this type of phrase. We were studying Daniel in the men's Bible study, and there he says to Daniel three times when he speaks to him, he talks to how he's the one who's highly esteemed, "you who are highly esteemed in the Lord." Well, here he's coming to Mary saying, "You who are greatly favored," or "highly favored." Now, that's not the way he talks to everybody, because that's not what he said to Zechariah. Now, another thing that we see, difference between Zechariah's experience with Mary and Gabriel, other than their greeting, is we see that Zechariah says, when he's told that his wife is going to have a child, he said, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." So he starts giving excuses, "Well, this can't be. Prove to me that this is going to happen." Where Mary's response is, "How can this be?" Not as a, "I don't believe you," but, "I'm a virgin. Explain to me how this is going to be." The difference between the two is Zechariah is saying, "Prove it." And Mary is saying, "I don't understand." One is calling God's word into question. The other is saying, "Please explain it to me." Now, both were blessed. But Mary, her response again is, "How can this be? For I'm a virgin." And Gabriel explains. It's so simple. Everybody should know this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There you go. You've just been told you're going to have this huge problem. Okay? Again, I'm picking on Nora Jean, but she's in a pretty similar scenario. Nora Jean, are you married? Neither was Mary. But she was pledged to be married. Means the husband was already picked out. Now, you don't have one of those yet, do you? No, she says. And Dad's going, "Yes." But if Nora Jean came home and said, "Guess what, Dad? Now, David loves his daughter, but I got a feeling that his voice would rise. And the question would be, what? And maybe a few other words. Again, I'm not picking on David and Nora Jean. They're just illustrative of what went on. Now, as upset as David would be to find out that his daughter was with child, it wouldn't be his job to turn her over to somebody to throw rocks at until she was dead. That is what's supposed to happen, or what, according to the law. Now, instead, you know, her husband didn't complain, so they're going, okay, well, maybe it was the husband, or the intended husband. And if that's the case, well, then it's kind of okay. We can just ignore it. There's been more than one child that's been born less than 9 months after the marriage. Don't count on Jason's months. That's bad. And you're all going, what? Don's going, why is he bringing this up? I don't know. I'm preaching what I think the Lord is telling me to say today. Don't know if it's any good or not. So we have these problems. And let me explain to you that when my mother found out that Donna and I were expecting, which was before our wedding, she wasn't happy. See, she found out before I did, just because Donna got sick, went to the hospital, and my mother worked as the head nurse at labor and delivery. And so, since she turned out to be pregnant, they called her, and she, of course, said, "You got a new admit coming." Now, many of you have heard that story privately, but this is the first time I ever stood in a pulpit and said it. Seems rather strange, difficult. But it wasn't the right thing for us to have done. It wasn't socially acceptable. Now today it would be considered, hardly anybody would blink at it. But back then, it was not a faux pas, a social blunder. It could literally have ended in the loss of her life. And she's like, okay, whatever you say, Lord. See, she trusted God. When he said, this is what's going to be, she knew it was going to be a tough road, because she knew when she went and she shows up pregnant, but she's a virgin, you know, first off, who's going to believe her? Second, there are people who are going to make her life miserable. Third, she's got to explain to her intended husband, guess what? We're pregnant. How can this be? Well, it's very simple. You see, the Holy Spirit came upon me and the power of God overshadowed me, and I'm with child. Okay. Mm-hmm. How can this be? Well, one of the most quoted passages in Scripture is verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. See, God said this is what's going to be. And Mary accepted it, knowing all the baggage that was going to come with it. It wasn't all laid out to her, that, you know, you're going to have this problem, this problem. There are just some things you know. Norgene, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there would be difficulties in your life if you came home and said, guess what, Dad? Yeah. Would somebody have to explain that to you? No. Norgene's a pretty smart girl. I'm assuming Mary's a pretty smart girl. After all, God picked her to be mother of her son, of his son. The mother of the incarnate God. So we know that this is not a girl who was slow of mind. She was certainly quick enough on the uptake when Gabriel came to speak with her. She knew what was going on. And her response is, how can this be? And then when she's told, so be it. Because Gabriel has said, for nothing is impossible with God. J.D. got up this morning and said, she's having a time of trial. She wants to praise God for it. Eva said, she's going to work 14 days straight, right? Possibly. Okay. She's looking at possibly working 14 days straight. Just praise God for that difficulty. Phyllis has got difficulties with health issues with people in her office or family members of those people. And you know, we want to praise God that she's there to share God's word with these people and bring comfort. But we say, well, none of us really want these problems. I mean, quite honestly, I'm going to guess that none of those three said, oh, and you had a test. Becky has some tests. And it's like, nobody wanted the difficulties. I mean, this like, Lord, make my life difficult, please. Anybody pray that prayer? I don't. I find that it's difficult enough already. He brings those challenges. Well, we need to have the same response that Mary has here. May it be to me as you have said. See, we don't have the Holy Spirit coming upon us and the power of God overshadowing us. We actually have the Holy Spirit coming and residing within us. And God has said that He would be with us no matter what our difficulty. If you look at our announcement sheet, you see that we look to be running $1,000 a month or more short every month. Now, we're not $12,000 in arrears. We've had a couple of infusions of cash here and there, but we still are a good chunk in arrears at this point. Not in our bills to companies. We've paid our utilities and things. It's things like getting the district paid and the Great Commission Fund sent off and reimbursing those who've made personal expenditures to the church on the church's behalf, reimbursements to them, and we find that there's significant dollars that are there. Say, God, you told us that we're supposed to be here and serve our neighbors with Christ's love. Yeah. Don't remember him ever telling us it was going to be easy, that there weren't going to be problems and difficulties. We need to seek after him. Feel him. Anybody here excited to hear that we're not bringing in enough money? Ought to be. I'm having trouble getting excited about it personally. Excited as in, yay, God, another challenge. That I'm having difficulty with that, but I'm supposed to. We're supposed to. This is supposed to be our response to God. Thank you, Lord. And go to Him in prayer. Go to Him for our need, whatever it is. In this story of that tells of how Jesus is going to be born, where his birth is foretold by the angel Gabriel, we see an example of how we are to respond when a difficult situation is thrust upon us when serving God. How can this be, Lord? She seeks after the Lord's instruction and then says, whatever it is you want. Okay. Now just, you know, there's things we can do personally to bring down our expenses. Okay, one, we can not spend any money on anything other than bills and necessary expenses, like pastor's salary. But pastor doesn't need to go to district conference and general counsel. I'm supposed to go to those things, but maybe I'll have to go on my own dime instead of the church paying for it. Well, the church is supposed to, but if the church doesn't have the money, the church isn't going to do it. Maybe we're not going to buy some things to replace that we need to, that need to be done, but we just need to figure out some way to make things go. Maybe we need to go to the Hmong and say, hey, can you pay more on some things? These are earthly things we can do. And we can deal with it. We can make pastor's wife go out and get a job. And, you know, she makes enough money, we can, you know, her tithe will take care of it. I mean, there's all sorts of ways we can deal with this. So how are we supposed to deal with it? Seek God. Pray. Follow His direction. His plan. Sometimes His plan doesn't make sense I mean, to mankind, it doesn't make sense to put the care of deity into the hands of a 15 or 16 year old girl who's not yet married and whose betrothed is not a wealthy man but just a carpenter. They don't live in a big city, wealthy home, wealthy parents. They live in a small town, middle of no place, Podunk, Israel. We look at that and we say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why isn't he born, you know, born to royalty? Why isn't he born, you know, in a castle? Why isn't he born to wealth and privilege? That wasn't God's plan. So we look at Northbrook and say, well, what's God's plan for Northbrook? Well, it's not wealth and privilege. You looked at our community, that's not ours. What is his will here? His will is that we are to be here to serve and love our neighbors. We're here to point the way to him. We're here to encourage one another. We're here, most importantly, to serve God. I am the Lord's servant, said Northbrook. May it be to us as you have said. A little revision there in our reading of the text. But that's who we are and what we ought to be. We are the Lord's servant. Mary's response when she knew she was going into a very, very difficult situation was, how can it be? How can this be? Not as in, I'm sorry, I said not how can, I said how will this be? It's very important we use those words. How will this be? How will you cause this to happen, Lord? How will you use me to bring this about? How will you do this thing? Because I don't know. Now, she had the advantage on us in that she was speaking directly to an angel at that point, the angel Gabriel. And he was there and told her what was going to happen. Though it still seems a little bit of a non-answer. The Holy Spirit shall be upon you, and the power of God shall overshadow you, and you shall be with child. Okay. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born to be called the Son of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is here. The power of God, I believe, does overshadow us. We need to seek after Him in prayer. Say, Lord, what is your will? What is your desire? And we need to follow that, whatever it is. Do I think or believe that the answer is everybody here has to give 10 more bucks or something like that? I don't think it's something like that. I think the answer is that we need to seek God. We need to give as He's commanded us, corporately and individually. We need to do those things as He tells us to do. If He tells you to walk across the street and pray with your neighbor, then go across the street and pray with your neighbor. That may or may not bring them here, but it will be doing what it is God has put us here to do, serve our neighbors with Christ's love. See, that's why the church is here. Tell the world about the incarnate deity that came into the world because the Holy Spirit overshadowed a young woman. The power of God caused her to be with a child. That child lived on this earth, walked, grew to be man. Went to the cross and was resurrected. And that man wasn't just man, that man was God. That's why we're here. To introduce those who don't know Jesus to Jesus. And come alongside our brothers and sisters who are in difficulties. Our neighbors who are in difficulties. That's why we're here. But how is this going to be? We need to seek Lord in prayer. So I ask you to join me in prayer. Father, we come before You. And we ask that You would speak to us. Lord, we pray that You would show us how this can be. What You will do with us here. Heavenly Father, we're not perfect. In fact, we're terrible sinners. We have no right in our own righteousness to command Your attention, to get Your blessings. But Lord, You are this little baby that was born in a manger to the Virgin. You suffered and died and was resurrected. And through that death and resurrection, Lord, You paid the penalty for our sins, and You've covered our unrighteousness with Yours. So Lord, Your righteousness covers us, cleanses us, so that we can enter into Your presence and seek Your blessing. Seek Your guidance, Your direction, Your will for what it is You would have us to do. As individuals and as a congregation, Lord, we come before You this morning. We're few here in number today and most days. But Lord, we know that You have a purpose for us here. Father, we ask that You would show us how we can best fulfill that purpose. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close by singing